Do I have hope? Here's how you know if you have hope, you groan. Hope groans unapologetically, without exception. Hope groans in the life of the believer. Now let's be sure now, this isn't complaining. That's not groaning biblically. It's not murmuring. Some of you are like, oh man, I'm really good at that. No. It's not feeling self-pity. Those are all sinful aspects of groaning or complaining. Biblical groaning here is righteous groaning, is groaning with creation, as we'll see, and even with the Holy Spirit. We are groaning for the fulfillment of that which we tasted.
Hello there, everyone, wherever you may be. Thank you for dialing us in here today at Living the Light. We're so thankful that you've joined us. I'm Craig, and I'm the host of this program. And in a moment, we're going to hear from our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simon. You know, it's pretty obvious that we are not professionals here, and trust me, we know that. We're simply grateful to have the opportunity to share God's word with so many people on a daily basis. And so we really do mean it when we say that we are thankful you're here today. You've joined us on today for the final episode of our series entitled Living Hope. And we've been seeing some amazing promises and encouragements from God's word through this series, and closing today by asking the question, got hope? And as we're going to see, getting the answer to that question right might just change your life forever. It's a message of great blessing for the believer looking for it. Let's turn things over to Pastor Robbie in Romans chapter 8, who explains more.
When Christ returns and we become perfected, then new heavens and new earth, then the earth is set free and the universe is set free from its corruption and bondage and the curse of sin. You say, well, how do you know that, Robbie? Because the word tells us that fact. Here's what Genesis 3 says regarding the impact of the curse of sin. Cursed is the ground because of you, God says, because of your sin, Adam and Eve. And notice the example that Genesis 3 gives to the earth sprouting and longing to be set free from its curse. It mentions weeds. You know me. You will know how much I hate weeds. This is why, right here. This is why. One of the greatest symbols and indications this earth is cursed is weeds. Not to mention the earth and the creation groaning and expressing that through hurricanes, tornadoes, and earthquakes, and climate chaos, and all that's happening, right? This shall bring forth to you. It's so interesting, though. Thorns and thistles. That's why pictures like this make me shudder. Go ahead. There it is. Whoa. This is our church this week. I have to walk across the mezzanine often and look and there it is again. And by the way, a little bit, not without hope, the cross of Christ and the hope of the cross is looking down upon the evil of the dandelions that are there. I love that so much. Yes, amen. Amen. Thank you for encouraging me in this. And of course, dandelions look nice from a distance, but you get up close and the evil is apparent within. Do not be deceived, young children. Do not be deceived, okay? You can pick them for your parents, but in the end, that'll be a disaster, all right? So you see, this is the earth screaming out, saying, by the way, I'm pretty much convinced there's no dandelions in heaven. New earth? No. They are part of the curse. And this is the earth saying, man, I want to be set free from the weeds and the thorns and the thistles and the climate again chaos and all the environmental things that are going on around us. It's so amazing to me. An eager longing. The creation in verse 19, eager is like tiptoe. Creation's on its tiptoes looking. Is it coming? So wanting to be freed from the curse of sin and corruption. And notice the last two words in verse 20. It says, in hope. You see, the power of hope, it is determining the value system of creation. How much more hope should it determine the value system of us who say we're alive in Jesus Christ? And just as we think about hope and what hope should be within us, I just want to take a bit of a time out to give some hope homework this week, okay? And if you want to take out your phone and take a picture of this, you can totally do that right now. But I really want us, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, if you don't have to work on the holiday Monday or this week, maybe take it 10, 15 minutes, go slow. But here's how hope should be lived out in our lives. Not exhaustive, but it's beautiful, it's powerful. A hope is living hope. The intro text of this series, it is a this is such a great passage here, Titus 2, read it. The blessed hope describing our salvation, a joyful hope, again, in one another and what it brings, the comforting hope. 1 Thessalonians 4, this is in death and then in Christ's return, powerful passage. The hope of glory, Christ in us, the hope of glory, our maturity in Christ. Again, anchoring hope, Pastor Craig's message from Hebrews 6. And I didn't know about this week, or I was reminded of this. 1 John 3 explains, if we have hope, it should be that which is leading us to be more pure because of what Christ has done for us. Hope purifies us because we're seeking. You see it all through Paul's life. He's seeking more of Christ. It's determining his decisions. He doesn't want to sin. He hates sin. He wants to move in Christ. Again, hope purifies. So a bit of hope homework for us. I pray we'll take seriously to be encouraged again as we pursue this hope. So got hope. If we have hope, then it changes what I value. Leads us to point two. If we got hope, then it does this too. It groans for my redemption. Hope groans for my redemption. See, where do you get that from? Verse 22, just going verse by verse here. That's all I do. 22, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. So what do we learn about hope? Hey, do I have hope? Here's how you know if you have hope, you groan. Hope groans unapologetically, without exception. Hope groans in the life of the believer. Now let's be sure now, this isn't complaining. That's not groaning biblically. It's not murmuring. Some of you are like, oh man, I'm really good at that. No. It's not feeling self-pity. Those are all sinful aspects of groaning or complaining. Biblical groaning here is righteous groaning, is groaning with creation, as we'll see, and even with the Holy Spirit, we are groaning for the fulfillment of that which we tasted. Paul says the whole creation is groaning in the pain of childbirth. Now, what a metaphor to use here, huh? Think about that. Think about the pain of childbirth and all that a woman goes through in the delivery of a child and the pain inherent within. But then as the child comes forth, as the new breath emerges, as this new life is seen, then all of a sudden the pain is forgotten. At least it's worth it for the result of this incredible miracle that is now being held in her hands. This is what creation is doing. Creation right now is in the pains of childbirth. It is groaning, but longing to be set free. For when the new heavens and the new earth are given and creation is restored to its Edenic state, as in Genesis 1 and 2, it will all be worth it. Jesus predicted that before his second coming, there will be wars and famines and earthquakes, and there'll be birth pains. In fact, here's how he said it in Matthew 24. Again, ask when, what will the signs be upon your return? He says there will be nation rising against nation. We see it all around us right now. Kingdom against kingdom. We see that too. There will be famines, check, and earthquakes, check, in various places. And no, Jesus says here, all these are but the beginning of the birth pains as creation is groaning again for its freedom found at the deliverance from corruption and bondage. Creation is groaning in this way. What about us? Verse 23, not only creation, the text says, but we ourselves, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our full adoption. Church, we should be groaning. A lot of us right now are groaning physically. in this room right now as we age. Again, I read this morning, 2 Corinthians 4, though our outer nature is wasting away. And it is. It is. I feel it every day. Do you? I feel it every day. I mean, some of you right now, man, you got bones that are creaking loud. Wake up and whoa. Some of you right there, a serious illness upon you. It's your body groaning to be set free. A lot of us there, just muscles so sore, different elements are happening, eyesight, whatever it is, all these things, it's physically we're growing. I mean, I think of this week and the example that I feel even at this moment right now as I'm preaching is quite annoying. It's just allergies. You know, why wake up at 3 o'clock at night, you got these razor blades in your throat from just these, allergic to what, Robbie? Most definitely dandelions. Won't be sad to see that season pass. It's swollen right now. It's this dumb thing that you feel in your whatever. My body's groaning. It's just if your allergies are groaning, it's just an aspect. This will not be imperfection. You won't be, again, feeling this way at all. The physical parts of groaning, we all experience that. Young people, you're like, not me too much. Your turn's coming, man. Your turn's coming, all right? You just wait. All right? But ultimately here, we groan inwardly. That's a spiritual groaning. Oh, help me understand that. It says, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we eagerly for our adoption. So first fruits is the farming term. When a harvest was about to be gathered, a sample of the harvest came and was presented as the first fruits, as the representation and the guarantee of the harvest to come. Okay? So we in Christ, we have been saved. Right? We are being saved. We have the Holy Spirit within us, but the Bible's very clear. We shall be saved. And you're like, well, how can I be saved in three different tenses? Because that's the reality of our salvation. We have been justified. We are innocent at past tense. We are being sanctified. We are changing into Christ, but we shall be saved, glorified in perfection. So we've tasted the presence of God. But we know there's so much more to come. I really hope you're going to share and resonate with what I'm about to say to you in terms of describing this. I've tasted God's presence. Like, I know God's Spirit lives within me. I've tasted the fullness of God's presence. You're in those moments and you are so consumed with God's presence. There's not a thought in the world that can distract you. All of your affections are all going to Jesus Christ. You care not for self. You are so satisfied. You are so filled with joy. You are so overwhelmed with this glory. You are so willing to praise. You are not thinking of self. You're just so overcome by God's presence. You are weeping with joy in the reality and the glory and the presence, and you've tasted it. You've tasted his presence. Doesn't stay that way forever. And then you go back into other seasons and you're longing for the day and the reality. When you see Christ face to face, it'll be unending, never diminished. You're groaning for that. That's what it means there. You're groaning for that. A lot of us, we've tasted victory over sin. We've had great seasons. We've seen great growth in Christ. We've had victory over certain things, but the reality is we lapse back into other seasons of failure or discouragement or shame, where we have a good week and then a bad week, but we've tasted the victory. We've tasted it, and we just imagine the day when all sin forever dealt with, no more temptation, no more Satan, no more darkness. We just long for that day. We're groaning for future and final victory over sin and death and Satan. And again, and in all darkness, many of us, we've tasted the reality of eternal life, or tasted the sense of God's glory, tasted it. Sense what it means that we are a spiritual being who's been regenerated and we're a new creation. We taste eternal life and we just imagine, man, that day. See, Paul does this over and over and over again. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. We're asking with the body, present with the Lord. He said, my body's just a tent. I'm groaning. I'm burdened, 2 Corinthians 5, longing for what will be. This is how we are to groan. It's so good to groan. You know, I got to say right now too, this is so important. If what I just described to you, you're like, no, I don't have any of that. And you're like, no, I don't need to grow, man. I'm happy with my life. I like living with the world. I like watching the next game. I like my food. I like my hobbies. I like hitting the gym. I like doing this. I like going to drive my fast cars. I'm good, man. I'm not growing for anything above here. I'm just neat, tidy, happy, hanging out here. I'm satisfied. You're in trouble. If that's you and you're all good here and now and you're not, the stuff I said and you're like, no, I'm any of that. If that is you, I'm telling you, man, look out. That's not good. Anyone who genuinely has a spirit of God within them is not okay with just this world. Like you're hearing this right now and you're alive in Jesus Christ. There should be, the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, that's a pretty thing. You want to listen to that part? Like in the word there, you pay attention to that because that's a big part of what I do is the Holy Spirit in your life. We're longing for what will be. If you got none of that, man, I'm telling you, you got to examine your heart to find out whether or not you're in. I want to pause there because even in our day, there's too many people sitting in church who think they're alive but aren't. Maybe because they try to earn something from God, or you can't earn anything. It's faith. It's faith in Jesus Christ and his grace. And that's where the hope then comes. When the hope is there, man, the groaning of the reality of the Spirit of God and all that he has and the affections and the love. It's so good to groan. And this should be a big part of who we are and what we do. The hope, the more we groan, again, groaning for our adoption, groaning for our redemption of our bodies. And here's what I love about this too. Look here for a second. When you hold tight onto hope, check that. When you give hope a huge bear hug and you just hold on, I'm not letting go. This is what allows you. The more you hold on to hope, the more you can let go of the world. Okay, again, this is one of Paul's secret, right? He's like, the surpassing worth of Christ means so much to me. He says, I can count the world as rubbish, which honestly, what he's describing there is excrement, dung. Because I see the world as that because I'm holding so tight onto the worth and hope of Jesus Christ and the gospel. The tighter we hold on to hope, the easier it is to let go of the world around us. Paul Tripp, wonderful author, biblical counselor, he provides insight into this. This will be for many of us right now. He says this. I love this quote. Because we live as this world is all there is, we are perennially demanding and disappointed, thinking that we have been dealt a particularly difficult hand. We envy the people around us who appear to have what we don't. We find it hard to celebrate the success of others. With the assumption that this is our final destination, we constantly want more and better. We're never able to say, I have enough. We possess too much, eat too much, spend too much, dream too much, demand too much, complain too much, expect too much, keep score too much, ask too much, and we are disappointed too much. You see, we don't need a better now. No, we need forever or hope to reshape our here and now. That is good. Okay? You saying that? The whole point is, it's not about now increasing now. The whole point is looking for what will be, which changes how you live in the now. So if all your expectations are gathering stuff for today and this earth, then we're living anti-New Testament lives. By the way, let me just pause long enough to say this. This is where this passage like this today flies in the face of so many false gospels in our day. Let's talk about the false gospel of the prosperity gospel. The false gospel of the prosperity gospel. Because the prosperity gospel says it's all about the now. Give me health, give me wealth, give me happiness now. I want more stuff. I want more money. I want, just think about the prosperity gospel is the antithesis of Romans 8. Romans 8 says the opposite of everything the prosperity gospel teaches, because the prosperity gospel is not of the word. It's not of the Lord. It's not of Jesus Christ. It's not true. It's false. It's leading you astray. It's bankrupting lives, ironically. It's causing so many people to be lost and dead in the pursuit of the temporal as they forsake the eternal. See, Romans 8 says, if you really want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't live for now. You live for what will be. In fact, you weigh glory with the present sufferings, and it's not worth comparing because of the beauty and the glory that Christ will reveal to us in him. Okay? That's the wisdom that we need in our time. These are the people truly following the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we know? Because it's so clearly stated in his truth. And if we are being deceived on certain levels, oh, may God give wisdom. That God even right there just being like, yeah, what kind of Christianity am I living anyways? Paul makes it abundantly clear. We are to groan not for now. We're to groan for what we will receive and our reward on that day when Jesus Christ returns. You got hope? You got hope? It changes what we value. You got hope? It groans. We groan for our redemption. And then thirdly, this, you got hope? You got hope? We wait for it. It's redemption. We wait for it with eager patience. That's really eager patience. Where do you get that from? The Bible. Look at verse 23, okay? Halfway through verse 3. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, or who hopes for what he does, what he sees. Verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Okay, so the word hope is used 5 times in these verses, just saying, okay? The word wait is used twice. Now notice how differently wait is used in these verses. In verse 23, we are to wait eagerly for our redemption. So wait eagerly carries this, straining the neck, straining to see. Straining, you're just eagerly anticipating, again, the redemption. But in verse 25, it says, we wait with patience. Patience is perseverance, steadfastness. So you can be like, okay, so I'm supposed to wait with expectation, eagerness, but I'm supposed to wait with patience at the same time. Isn't that a contradiction? No, no, not at all. Look at John Stott in his commentary. He says this, very helpful. He says, we are to wait neither so eagerly that we lose our patience, right? It's like, I want it now, I want it now, I want it now, I want it now, forget, I'm done, right? No, no. Nor so patiently that we lose our expectation, just like yawning ourselves off to sleep, and then we grow into apathy, right? Not that. He says this, right? He says, but eagerly and patiently we are wait together. That's so good. That's so good. We wait for our redemption. We're eager, we're anticipating, we're expectant, but we're also patient. See? So one of the tests. This passage is being preached over you right now. Our minds should be renewed. Our affections should be stirred. Our wills should be guided towards the Lord's. So we're sitting here right now. We should be feeling a greater expectation than when we came in. There should be a greater love for Christ in the acknowledgement of his return. There should be the Holy Spirit saying, hey, stop wasting your time in that and let's move towards my will in this. Stop being so obsessed with all your entertainment, all the ridiculous time you're wasting. Let's move over here now to actually live our lives in line with the gospel truths and the expectation. There's a growing anticipation and expectation as we wait. But at the same time, we wait with patience, which means perseverance, or again, steadfastness, or listen, I won't give up. When life gets hard, I won't give up. When I'm in trial, I won't give up. When expectations are not met as I saw them, I won't give up. Philippians 1:6, because what the Lord starts, he will finish. If I have hope, I wait patiently. I press on through the storm because I believe Jesus Christ is going to return for me. So what I love is what happens in certain weeks is this: the unity of the Bible is just nothing other than supernatural. Like, it's just incredible. So I got all these themes on my heart from Romans 8 here and through our series on hope. I'm thinking about it a lot. And my readings brought me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I was like, oh, I'm reading 2 Timothy 2. I've read that, I don't know, 1,000 times. You go read chapter 2. I'm going to read chapter 1. Read chapter 1, read chapter 2. I'm going to read chapter 3. I'll read chapter 4, okay? I read the letter, 4 chapters. And I was just sitting there like kind of stepping back from it and thinking, okay, this is Paul in prison about to die, writing to Timothy. Timothy, this young man, timid man, afraid, ashamed of Paul and his chains. How do we know the text says that? I'm trying to think, what would Timothy be taking away if he read this letter for the first time about what ministry is like? And if you go from 2 Timothy chapter 1 to chapter 4, I mean, here are the themes that Paul is, again, so clearly stating. He's like, hey, Timothy, you're going to suffer, man. You're going to suffer. Like he said like 6 times. You're going to suffer. You're going to be afraid. Don't be afraid. God gave you not a spirit of fear, power, love, self-control. Don't be ashamed of my chains or the Lord Jesus Christ. Guard the good deposit. Guard the gospel. Hey, Timothy, this world, it's going down the toilet. Hate to tell you, 2 Timothy 3. Like, it's just, everything's going to go bad to worse, man. It's going to be awful. You say, but as for you, continue in what you have firmly believed and you have known the sacred writings make you wise for salvation. Hey, Timothy, it's going to be really, really tough. He says, listen, but you got to preach the word. Whatever you do, preach the word. Don't tickle the ears. It's in season around. Don't give up, man. Jesus Christ is all going to happen. Hey, Timothy, I've had three couplets of people who opposed me and deserted me and a couple other guys who tried to do me great harm. So I should serve the Lord Jesus Christ. People will abandon you on a regular basis. People will oppose you all the time. People will try to inflict harm on you. But don't give up, Timothy. Have hope. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be so much going on. But guard that good deposit. Because at the end, he says this, Timothy, I'm about to die. I'm in prison. But he says this. Hope's not mentioned. It's just littered with it. Okay? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And here it comes, right? Here's the eschatology again from Paul. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. There it is, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on the capital D day of his return. And not only to me, I love this, not only to me, but also to all who have loved eschatology, loved his appearing. Timothy, and after this, he goes on, more guys will abandon me, right? Do me harm. But in the end, Timothy, this is why we live. Right here. That day, the crown of righteousness will be awarded to those who have persevered and endured and waited eagerly yet patiently in hope for the reality and their status and the glory to be revealed in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy, the whole letter of it's really summarizing verse 18 of our passage today. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us in Christ Jesus. You got hope? I hope so, man. I hope so. Listen, it won't give you a mustache, but it will be seen. It must be seen from our lives. A hope will be heard from, listen, loved ones, our hope changes how we talk. Our hope will be seen in our actions, changes how we live. Our hope will be witnessed in our generosity. Our hope will be detected in our direction. Our hope will be savored in our songs. It'll be savored in our songs, it will. The hope must come forth. Songs like, for Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. Waiting eagerly, the clouds be rolled back as the scroll. The trump shall resound, the Lord shall descend. Waiting patiently, even so, it is well with my soul. Got hope? Oh, Lord, fill us with hope. Amen, church? Amen. Let's pray. Father, do fill your church with hope today. Renew our minds, stir our affections, lead our wills. I want to make this abundantly clear. Anyone who's here right now and you have not been saved in Jesus Christ, you have never turned from sin and asked Jesus to forgive you and live within you. You can do that right now. You can say, Jesus Christ, I believe today it has been revealed to me that you are my hope. You are my light. You are my love. You are my savior. You rescue me from my sin. I repent of my sins against you. I receive the love from you. And I pray as you have been raised from the dead to newness of life, that I too, want to be raised from the dead, that I may have a hope that will never, ever leave me, will never, ever be defiled, that will be indestructible for all of eternity. Oh God, would you save people right now, here, overflow, whoever's listening. Save people right now. Jesus, you are the answer. Jesus, you are. You are hope. That is why we can sing. That is why we can sing. That is why we live.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form, so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light.